and now evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to Luke the 9th chapter. Luke the 9th chapter. The word discipleship is a word that you and I probably do not use very often today. We refer many times as Christians to ourselves and to others that follow Christ. If we were to go to the New Testament times and look at the way the word we use Christian to their terms, more often they would call themselves disciples instead of Christians. More often they would refer to themselves as simply the church instead of Christian. Either of these terms are okay. Nothing wrong with any of them. The church or discipleship or Christianity. These are all very good terms that describe what we do. And that is, we follow Jesus Christ. Please understand the definition to disciple is either one that learns or even a pupil. But now when we look at the word disciple in the New Testament, it has even a more exclusiveness to it. And that is, a disciple in the New Testament is one that learns or is a pupil or even an apprenticeship of Jesus Christ. You see, it's more than just learning about Jesus Christ. It's taking on the nature and the life and the actions of Jesus Christ that is implied when the term disciple of Jesus is given throughout the New Testament. Now, there are times when we struggle with this, because there's times when just by nature we want to pull our own identity out more than we want to bring on the identity of Jesus Christ. If you will, hold your finger in Luke the 9th chapter and turn over to Romans. And let's read just a few verses in Romans the 14th chapter. In Romans the 14th chapter, we could read the entire chapter and it would be very applicable for today and for our lesson. But let's pick out just about two or three verses. Romans the 14th chapter, look at verse 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So here Paul writes to Romans and he says, why are you so concerned about answering to each other? He says, don't you remember? We are Christians. We are disciples. We follow Jesus Christ. We imitate Jesus. There's no reason to look left to right to see how to act. There's no reason for you to set my standard or for me to set your standard. We look at Jesus Christ and that is our standard, because there's a day coming. Now notice, why is that our standard? Because there's a day coming when every knee shall bow. Brethren, on Judgment Day, and I'm sure you can rejoice over this or can say, well, it doesn't matter. But you're not going to bow before Jesus and Him say, you know, you didn't do exactly like old brother so-and-so did. Or you know, you just wasn't as good as your spouse. Or you know, your children grew up to be more faithful Christians than you. We're not going to hear these statements. Why? Because we're judged by the standard of Jesus Christ. There's no comparison to each other when we stand on that judgment day. So it's so important, as we look at our final lesson in this series on the cross, that whenever we read Jesus' words in Luke the 9th chapter, that we truly understand what is meant. Notice Luke the 9th chapter, verse 23. "And Jesus said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, Jesus, this seems a little bit strange. This seems a little bit awkward, Jesus. You see, we live in a society that says, look out for number one. We live in a society that says, if you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. We live in a society that says, hey, you think of yourself as achieving. You motivate yourself in your mind and you will achieve. And Jesus, you come along and you say, deny self. And that's success. Jesus, I don't understand it. How can we deny ourselves and be a follower of you? What do you mean by denying self? And perhaps that is the greatest question we can answer. He answers that in this same text for us. Look at the next verse. Jesus, what does it mean to deny self? Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Jesus says if we're going to learn what it is to deny ourselves, the first thing we must do is we must learn how to lose our life. Now I think that is exactly what Paul was saying in Philippians when he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Brethren, think about that for a moment. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what it is to lose our life. Can you honestly say this morning, along with Paul, because the Lord blessed me with another day, I'm going to go to bed tonight and the cause of Christ will be greater because I lived. Some way today, I have magnified Christ in some way. For me to live is Christ. Can you look back over the past 6 months? And can you honestly say to you and your Lord, yes, for me to have lived this past 6 months is a glorification to God. I have magnified God. I have reached out and I've helped others. I've strengthened other Christians. I myself have been reading the Word and I've been strengthening myself. Yes, for me to live the past 6 months has been a glory to God. Can I say that? You see, Paul said, every day that I live, it's best for Christ. But then he says, now if I want to look at self a little bit, the best thing that could happen to self is I could go ahead and die. He says, if I could just go ahead and die, I could be with Christ for eternity. Yes, the first part of realizing self-denial is to realize first that we're living for Christ. And once we can realize our life is for Christ, we have a better understanding. Notice verse 25. He introduces another area on denying self. Verse 25, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Christ says, what have you gained? He says, there's no financial, material gain that can fulfill the needs of the soul. We need to learn that a part of self-denial is saying, there's nothing on this earth that can satisfy my soul. Nothing. The Word of God can give me that satisfaction along with the inspiration of God working through the Word, but there's nothing material. There's nothing financial. There's nothing that can fulfill the needs of my soul. And Christ illustrates that with an illustration that's really beyond our imagination. He says, what if you gained the whole world but lost your soul? It's no advantage. You know, maybe perhaps you and I need to break this down to a smaller illustration to better understand it, to make it more real to us. Imagine the most wealthy person you know. We won't try to imagine this morning someone that owns the whole world. Just imagine the most wealthy person that you know. Now, if you gain as much wealth as they have, it's no advantage to the soul. There's no amount of wealth. If we had the ability to buy out the Walmart Corporation this morning, imagine our name would be on every newspaper. Our name would be on the nightly news tonight. Our name would be all over and everyone would be talking about the person that had enough wealth to buy out the Walmart Corporation. And Jesus Christ says, it's not going to help your soul. So the first part of self-denial is so important that we realize we must lose our life. We must allow Christ to live in us. The second part is to realize that there's no material things here that can help us spiritually. And then notice the third point that he makes in 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. He says a part of self-denial is never putting your concerns, your personal concerns, above the concern of Jesus Christ's life or His words. Never should I stand up and shun the shame from individual self and put it onto the gospel. Never should I be ashamed to say, yes, I am a Christian. Never should I be ashamed to say, I'm sorry, I can't do this activity, I can't be involved in this, this, or this, because I'm striving to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm learning from Jesus. I'm an apprentice of Jesus. I'm following as Jesus leads me. I'm sorry, I can't participate in those things. But many times our temptation is, instead of bringing the shame to self to say I can't, we'd rather give the shame to the gospel, push it aside, and live how we want to live. Three very important parts of self-denial. Three that I sincerely believe every one of us here this morning struggle with in some way, form, or fashion. This morning, I hope, as we look a little bit further into the lesson, but this first point, I hope you'll pray about it this week. I hope we'll all work, because this is something that does not come natural. This is something, no matter how long we've been a Christian, we have to work constantly at denying self. Notice the second thing He said there in the 23rd verse. He said that if you want to follow Him, first you have to deny self. Second, take up His cross daily. The only way you and I can understand what Jesus was saying is to go back and to see the ones He was speaking to in that day. You see, I just bet if I were to ask you this morning to name, the moment I say the word, you name what comes to your mind. If I said cross, you might say salvation. If I said cross, you might say church building. You might even say necklace. Oh, you see, throughout the ages, the cross has become a symbol. A symbol that people love and they cherish because they think of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and they might think of their salvation. They cherish it so much that they put it on church buildings, that they put it on top of steeples, that they wear it around their neck, they put it on the Lord's table. The cross is all over. And so we look at this verse and it says, deny yourself and take up the cross daily. And we have a hard time understanding what Jesus is saying. Perhaps the best way for us to understand this is to go back. What were they thinking whenever Jesus said, take up the cross? They were thinking execution. It would be the very same for someone coming to us today and saying, I want you to deny yourself and I want you to pick up an electric chair every day. Your electric chair every day. I want you to deny yourself and I want you to enter into the gas chamber and turn it on every day. I want you to go and I want you to stand on the stool and I want you to put the rope around your neck and I want you to kick it out every day. Brethren, there was no glory to what Jesus was saying here. As a matter of fact, it was not even to say, now you're going to have hardships. Please realize this. This is an important point. Jesus was not saying, now when you bear your cross, many times when you ask someone to explain this verse, they say, well, that's just like Jesus. He fell beneath His cross because it was a heavy burden. No, brethren. Bearing the cross is not just a heavy burden. Bearing the cross was death. There was no one that you walked up to Monday morning and you said, hey, I heard that you were on the cross Friday. How are you feeling? No. The cross was death. And in that day and time, it was so terrible. They didn't do it in the city. They took them outside the city. And if it was a criminal that had no family around, they didn't even show the respect to bury them. They allowed the birds to eat their flesh off of the cross and the smell reeked throughout the town. That was the cross that they knew about. Only the cross of execution. There was no beauty to the cross. It was death. And Jesus says to them, if you're going to follow Me, deny yourself and die daily. Every day we must realize that we're not living for self. That we're realize that we're dying to our own wants and desires, and we're living to follow Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, this is such a short verse, you might turn over there and you might say, why didn't he just quote it? I want us to see it. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. This is exactly, in other words, exactly what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, comma, I die daily. Paul, what do you mean I die daily? He says, I'm obeying what Jesus said to do. What's that? Take up my cross daily. Oh, it's not just a heavy burden. Well, today, let me see if I can carry this Christianity on my shoulder like Christ carried the cross. No, that's not what he says. He says it is a complete denial of self. It is a total death to what self wills to do, and it's a total birth to living as Christ wants us to live. Paul had a good understanding of that. And we must commend Paul for these words here. Now there is a point where we are first dead. Flip back just a few pages to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter introduces to us the first time that we die for Christ. The first time that we pick up the cross. The very first time any of us here that have picked up the cross did so was at this point in Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The very first time you and I take up the cross is once we say to the Lord, I'm ready to crucify the old man of sin. I'm ready to destroy, to repent, to turn away. The way that old man of sin is destroyed is by baptism. It washes away the sins, the remission of sins. And we rise again out of that watery grave to be a new creature, to walk a new life just as Christ was raised from the grave to walk a new life. Brethren, that is the only way the Scriptures teaches us how to have this new life. And then, from that point, what we must stress today is that every day should be similar, not in baptism every day, but it is similar in that every day we realize the same thing. Every day we realize, now today I cannot live for self. Today I crucify the will of self and I am living a new life as Jesus Christ. When Jesus in Luke the 9th chapter wanted to teach His disciples how to be true disciples of Him, He said, first, deny yourself. Second, take up your cross daily. And there in the 23rd verse, next, He says, and follow Me. Brethren, that sounds very simple in ways, but it's not that simple. Perhaps the best way we could understand how to follow Jesus is first to learn of Jesus. That's why I think it's so important. And it's my goal that we study in the adult classes at least half of the year, in either Sunday morning or Wednesday night, at least half of the year in the Gospels. It's so important for us to spend time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because that's how we learn about the life of Christ. And once you and I learn the life and the nature and the thinking of Jesus Christ, then we can learn better how to follow Him. Brethren, you cannot follow someone you do not know. Here, He dealt with some important aspects of self. He said, I want you to deny self. He said, I want you to destroy self. Well, then what do we do in return? You follow me, he says. The only way we can follow him is by knowing him. Remember in 1 Peter 2:21, he said that he came, he suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps. That's what our goal is this morning, is to follow. Let us all this day, before we make any decisions, think, what would Jesus do? Before I make a business decision, what would Jesus do? Before I make a decision about school, what would Jesus do? Before I make a decision about who to date, what would Jesus do? Before I make a decision on how to discipline my child, what would Jesus do? Before I make a decision on how to treat my spouse, what would Jesus do? Every decision, from the smallest to the greatest, should be prefaced with what would Jesus do? Rather than any other form of decision making is going to lead us down a path to where we look back and we say, how? How did I ever get into this shape and still I call myself a Christian? Every day it takes the self-denial. It takes crucifying our self-will. But it takes following Jesus and always asking, what would Jesus do? This morning, how do you stand? These are hard words. You know, there were times where Jesus preached and the disciples, the followers, said, these are hard words, and they turned. My pleading with you this morning is, don't turn away. Don't say, I could never follow those words, but at the same time, I urge you to realize the seriousness of these words. And let's all give our life completely this morning to following these commands of Jesus. Have you become a child of God by His standards? If not, do that this morning. If you have, but yet somewhere along the way you've fallen, brethren, we all do it. The important thing is that we get up, we ask forgiveness of sins, and we come back into the church ready to serve, ready to be that disciple, that apprentice of Jesus Christ. If we can help you this morning, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?